What do flowers, flower beds, and sprinkler systems have to do with personal spirituality? What's a spiritual life plan, and how can it benefit you? How can you help increase spirituality for those you lead? We discuss those questions and more today on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bruce Ritter, along with my co-host, Charles Russell. Together, we want to help Christian leaders rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church. Well, what a fantastic show we have for everyone today. We're glad that you could be with us on the Five Gifts Podcast. Today, we're having a conversation about keeping the channels of spiritual life opened in our own personal lives and ultimately in our churches, the churches we attend, where we serve, where we work, maybe even the church you lead. So let's begin talking about those regular practices of spiritual disciplines and how they bring lift and vitality to each of us. Charles, greet everybody.
Yeah, hey, welcome to the podcast. Glad you're here today. Happy belated Mother's Day to those of you that would apply to. And so we celebrated yesterday, had a great day. Welcome to all of our viewers and all of our listeners. Some of you, this may be your very first episode you've tuned in. Others, you may have been with us for every episode. Whatever the case, we're thrilled that each of you are here with us today. And I just think that this is going to be a great podcast episode to continue our leadership development and our personal spirituality development, both individually and in the churches that we help to lead. And so with that, let's transition into our topic. Bruce, what's so important about personal spirituality?
Well, Charles, that's a good leadoff question. It is important. And I think maybe to understand why it's so important is to think about your own faith experience with Christ and inviting the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we have all kinds of instruction in the scriptures about staying, staying current, you know, in our spiritual lives. But you know, Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How does that happen? I mean, well, I think we can all relate to different ways that we keep the word of God as a constant presence in our life, whether it's through daily Bible reading, private devotions, even sitting under the preaching and teaching of the word. Those are all forms of that spiritual discipline of letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And so that's a pattern, I think, for all the spiritual disciplines where we begin to engage with not only what God is saying, but what he's doing. And so I just think that, you know, anytime we approach such a needed priority in life, it's helpful to be intentional. And what I really enjoy about our topic today is we're getting to talk about some kinds of spiritual disciplines that bring that lift, but also some spiritual disciplines that are going to be familiar to us and unfamiliar to us. We have some well-worn pathways to spirituality that we usually engage in. Maybe at the beginning of the year, we're planning our own reading through the Bible plan, and that maybe that's a constant thing we do every January. But then that's a well-worn pathway. But then, you know, there's some new pathways that we want to talk about today that come from maybe traditions outside of our own. I know as a Pentecostal, I prefer lively, upbeat, expressive worship. Love to raise my hands. I love to pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit more than ye all, if I get the opportunity. But there's some other forms from other traditions that are not only are they valid, and we can talk about that maybe later, but also thinking of it's a new pathway. It opens up a new channel of the life of the Spirit. And so I think it's really important to think about those both as new experiences, but also intentionally integrating some of those into our lives.
Yeah, I think that's great. So, I mean, that can really kickstart our spiritual journey, our spiritual growth journey. You know, and we're both Pentecostal, we're both Assemblies of God ministers, and my parents were Assemblies of God, or still are Assemblies of God pastors. So that's the tradition, that's the environment I've grown up in. And so, you know, the idea of some spiritual disciplines from other traditions, that's not a foreign concept, but it's, I'm still growing in some of those because, you know, like you talked about some of the well-worn pathways, those traditional disciplines, and especially in our traditional expression of Pentecostal worship that we're used to, those are familiar, those are comfortable. But just like anything, anytime we can incorporate new expressions of faith and spirituality, it, like you've said, opens up new channels, opens up new pathways, and can really just offer a new dimension, a new depth, and a deeper substance to the expressions of worship that we offer to God. And so this is going to be great, man. Especially for me, I'm going to learn a lot. You've done a lot of study, and spiritual formation, and so I'm really looking forward to hearing your insights and the things that you have for our conversation today.
Well, it's going to be a short podcast then, because I really don't know a whole lot. I do know that being intentional is really important. And so, when we talk about being intentional, what we mean is scheduling, calendaring those spiritual disciplines, because that is scheduling and calendaring the release of God's presence into our lives, the way we engage with Him, the way we think of relationship. It's the way we relate to God, mm-hmm. in different regions of life, spaces of life, those private devotions. But spiritual disciplines often have a semi-private or maybe a small group component where it's more intimate, but it's involving other people, especially important people in our mm-hmm. lives. And then the corporate setting, spiritual disciplines is something that happens to us when we participate with the larger body of Christ. And that just keeps the vitality that's needed in our lives to accomplish the work and the will and the agenda of Jesus. Yeah. If I could illustrate it, coming off Mother's Day, the month of May in our household, especially that second Sunday up to May the 20th, is always a big month in our house, because mm-hmm. that's Mother's Day, but it's also May 20th is my wife's birthday. And so there's flowers galore, in our house. And my wife's love language is flowers. She likes cut flowers and vases. She likes potted flowers and flower beds. On her birthday, which is coming up in a few days, it's my tradition. And so it's not much, so much of a surprise anymore. She knows she's getting them. But I get her a dozen orange roses.
Okay, wow.
And the biggest difference is that those orange roses, as beautiful as they are, they have a fading beauty. They'll sit on our dining room table, or she may put them in our living room. And they're beautiful. They're gorgeous. We have a local florist that just does a fantastic job mm-hmm. With them. But as nice as the presentation is, as beautiful as they are, on May the 20th, there's a fading beauty there. They're going to wilt over time. The color is going to fade a little bit. They're going to mm-hmm. wilt. And that's because cut flowers, we only see what remains from their previous connection to a life-giving root system.
Yeah.
And so a week after sitting in our living room or on our kitchen table, again, you see the fading beauty of those roses. They don't look like when she first received them. However, she has rose bushes in our backyard along our back fence, and man, they're hitting their peak bloom right now. And every year they come out fresh and alive, and her flower beds in the front yards, I mean, they're thriving right now because they still have a connection to a life-giving root system. And I think about our spiritual lives, because believers, small groups, churches, families, they can become like cut flowers without a root system. Mm. Without that intentional connection in their spiritual lives, those experiences that they've had with Christ, maybe even a previous, more consistent practice of spiritual disciplines, they're living off the life-giving connection there. But without that consistent connection, Those experiences in the past, that experience as a kid at youth camp last summer, there's a chance if that hasn't been regularly cultivated in a young person's spiritual life, we know that experience, it fades. The pressures of the world come in and begin to build up and fight against that. And so that's why we need to be regular. That's why we need to be intentional. That's why we need to plan. Because we want to keep that vitality and the fruitfulness and the passion. And so we want to schedule that and be consistent. So Charles, when you think about a regular participation in spiritual disciplines, what does that look like to you?
Well, I think it I think it looks like a sprinkler system. But I want to go back just to something to what you were talking to us about calendaring, about being intentional about spiritual disciplines. It sounds like what you're saying is what Jesus talked about in the book of John when he said that, he's the vine, we're the branches, and it's this connection. It's our being intentional to remain connected into the life of Christ. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, in fact, something I would connect to that just as we were talking, when you're saying one thing but you actually have other thoughts going on in your mind, that's a funny dynamic, of the way we think. But I was just thinking how he is the vine, we are the branches, and we remaining him, that's where we have fruit. And that spiritual disciplines don't replace that connection, and they kind of engage in that connection. They open up the channels of that connection. And so, one way I think about it is what Hebrews says about faith, that he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So for me, spiritual disciplines, is the embodiment of that coming to God and believing that he is. And whether it's in prayer or it's the word, there's that faith element of I'm actively believing that he is, that he is the God that is not only speaking in his word, but he's acting in my life. So I hope that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Well, you asked about what is this active participation in spiritual disciplines look like, and I said, I think it looks like a sprinkler system, and so that could maybe sound kind of random and out of left field, but if you think about a sprinkler system, it draws from a single source of water and it distributes it evenly to every part of the yard. Depending on weather conditions, the yard receives water on a regular basis. And so the spiritual life of a church parallels this use of the sprinkler system. The Spirit of God must sprinkle every part of the church on a regular basis. In this way, the church can stay spiritually healthy. So pastors, leaders, we can best accomplish this by creating a strong, functioning spiritual life system. Bruce, I don't know about you, but I've tried to cultivate the lush green yard. I've tried those things, and honestly, I've given up on it. Excuse me. I remember one year. I don't know if I was trying to outdo the neighbors, or I don't know what my motivation was, but I didn't have the installed sprinkler systems, which is certainly the better route to go. So there I was every day with a long water hose, dragging a water hose around the front and backyard, trying to water in this fresh grass seed, and my neighbors probably thought, who is this idiot, carrying a water hose around out there? What in the world is he doing? A sprinkler system would have been much more efficient and been much more effective at helping to water in grass seed and helping to bring the moisture and the life to those freshly planted seeds. That's what the spiritual life system, when I say that, hey, as pastors or as leaders, creating a strong functioning spiritual life system. I liken that to a sprinkler system. It has a wide reach. It's consistent. It's incremental, and it accomplishes the job in an effective and efficient way. And that same idea can be massaged into the life of the church. Again, whether you're a pastor leading an entire congregation, you may be a small group leader. You may teach a Sunday school class. Any number of ministry and leadership roles within the church, but you can, as the leader, begin to whatever group of people it is you're leading, you can begin to construct a strong functioning spiritual life system. Because really, I mean, we're not there just to teach a lesson. We're not there just to distribute information. We're there to help people grow in their spirituality. And so beginning to put together a strong system, which is going to be comprised of spiritual disciplines that are being scheduled and that are being observed or executed or activated maybe in three different layers. And those layers will be private, semi-private, and public. And so you know, as we further the conversation, and begin to talk about private, semi-private, and public, we bring to light the idea of these spiritual disciplines making up or facilitating, as you talked about, the connection to Christ that we have, and then now even talking further about building a healthy and strong functioning spiritual life system. We understand these spiritual disciplines are going to make that up. So, Bruce, what are the spiritual disciplines that we should be consistently engaging in individually for our personal spirituality, but then maybe even as we're looking at from a leadership standpoint, helping to facilitate that in those that were tasked with leading.
You know, before I get to that, Charles, I want to say that the idea of a sprinkler system, I mean, that's the modern day. You know, if you live in a neighborhood, a development, to me, that's the modern day equivalent of what the Bible talks about, rivers of living water.
Yeah,
you know, rivers in the New Testament were in the Old Testament, they were known as those sources of irrigation that in an agricultural culture, society, they need that connection to the river. That was their sprinkler system. Yeah. And so I just think that's a beautiful word picture to think about what it means to, you know, in a corporate setting, in the life of the church and, you know, in the life of the individual, keeping that regular pattern of connection. And so when we talk about spiritual disciplines, I believe we break down spiritual disciplines into about nine areas. You know, and our categories aren't like, you know, the tablets coming down from Mount Sinai, but they are a way for us to understand, kind of the categories or the forms of spiritual disciplines. And so we have nine: worship, prayer, fasting, Bible reading, fellowship, submission, communication, stewardship, and service. And so, you know, there's not just one of those disciplines that releases the life and the vitality of the Spirit in our lives. Mm-hmm. We need participation in all of them, and we need them in a regular, scheduled, intentional pattern. But let's talk about them, and we have some graphics that are going to help us to see these a little more, you know, visually and clearly. But if we start off with forms of worship, you know, we think of the corporate worship service, but there's a private dimension to worship. And so what we're going to look at are these forms of worship in all the categories that we look at. You'll see a private, a semi-private, and a public expression of those disciplines. So like in worship, everyone's familiar with corporate worship, the corporate celebration service that's alive, that the almost like the anthem opening song to a worship set, to moving into lots of celebration, moving and then moving into those deeper reflective moments of worship. Of course, there's Thanksgiving involved in worship and lots of singing. You may have experienced communion in that setting. So communion could be a form, but those are easily transferable into the semi-private, the small group, maybe even something you do with your family. Again, it's not in a corporate setting. It's more in a private, intimate, semi-private setting. But then, in a private setting, you still want to celebrate. You want to include gratitude. You want to include those times of praise. Another interesting form of worship in the private space is Sabbath, taking a Sabbath. When we think about Sunday being, our equivalent of Sabbath, it's the Lord's Day, which the early church, they actually replaced, that was their day. The Sabbath was that day of worship. But you can do that privately. And I think it's healthy to do it privately. So, those are forms of worship. If we look at some forms of prayer, again, the same pattern, private, semi-private, and public. So again, we've experienced corporate prayer. We've experienced liturgical prayer, perhaps, maybe in other traditions on Sunday morning, that congregational facet of calling out to the Lord together. And I'm sure we've experienced that in small groups, that semi-private. Another semi-private form of prayer as a discipline would be prayer partners. Maybe prayer walk in your neighborhood with prayer partners, or healing prayer. We think of healing prayer as ministry, but healing prayer has a real, connection to the way we ask the Father, we minister to people. So it's kind of it's one of those nexus disciplines, which is really true about all of the disciplines. They don't just exist in silos. We usually see them working together in the way we express them. And then privately, there's forms of prayer, and there's some forms of prayer that come out of maybe your Eastern Orthodox tradition, some of your more liturgical traditions, things like breath prayer, centering prayer, contemplative prayer. I want to say that that there's can be, maybe even people listening to this podcast, they're going to maybe go to what they've heard about, these kinds of prayer, centering prayer, contemplative prayer, and they have red flags go up because they see that associated with maybe some New Age practices, maybe some Far East practices, Buddhism, Taoism, things like that, or Taoism rather. But in all honesty, one thing the Bible differentiates in our spiritual disciplines versus some of the more Eastern disciplines is, as Christians, God is wanting our mind to be filled. That's why Colossians says, be filled, be richly filled with the word. In the Old Testament, the proverb was, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Where, like, some of your Eastern forms of, and when I mean Eastern, I mean like Eastern religions, their whole concept was emptying the mind, being emptied, thinking about nothing, so you can concentrate on those deities, and so you empty your mind. And what they mean is you empty your will. But in Christianity, we're talking about filling up your mind, filling up your will. And so that's a big difference. And maybe on another podcast, we can talk about those. The worship, prayer, again, fasting is part of that, and we want to schedule that in those different spaces, private, semi-private, and public. We could go on. We could talk about forms of Bible reading, that everything from personal Bible study, devotional reading, meditation, reflection, scripture memorization, but then those more public forms where we do Bible study in small groups. We do We sit under the preaching and the teaching of the word. I put fellowship, submission, and communication together because there's so much overlap between those three, especially. Again, there's a private space, a semi-private space, public spaces for those kinds of spiritual disciplines. And then stewardship and service. Again, there's always those three expressions. And we don't have time, I think, this morning to get into all of them. But I'll just give you one example. When it comes to stewardship, I know the one spiritual discipline that always rises to the surface in talking about stewardship is tithing. And so you think about tithing in a private setting. How do I do that? Well, Corinthians and First and Second Corinthians, Paul talks about setting aside the gift that you're going to bring on the first day of the week. And so, you know, even in there, you have the private and the public expression of that. In private, it's me setting aside. It's the conscious recognition that this is what I'm setting aside and giving for the Lord's Day. And the public expression of that is bringing it. And so there is an act of worship and stewardship even in that. And so I hope this is a little clearer. You know, again, no one discipline releases everything. There's a multitude of spiritual disciplines that we can draw from, but we need a balance of them, and we need a balance of them in all three spaces.
Yeah. I really, really enjoy your comments talking about, again, the intentionality, the calendared, the scheduled approach to spiritual disciplines, and just a couple things that you kind of spurred in my thinking as you were sharing with us was, number one, with all these combinations of these nine disciplines that we identify and we kind of work with, in combination of the private, semi-private, and public, there it seems to be a limitless combination of disciplines that as a believer we can put together. So that it doesn't have to become trite or kind of old hat in our spiritual formation. Yes, there is routine to it because it is intentional and it should be calendared, and it should hold that value and that importance. I think of the things that I calendar, that I schedule, they hold high value in my life, and so spiritual disciplines should obviously, for me, for everyone as a believer who is intent on growing spiritually, we should have those things calendared. So there is the element of routine there. But within that routine, there's great diversity and great freedom to explore multiple pathways to spiritual growth and maturity because of those combinations and different spaces. I like that word that you're using for the private, semi-private, and the public. But the second thing, is a great example you gave for tithing. And so I kind of thought, well, I wonder if our, not to be legalistic, but in our church attendance, in our gathering together to worship, how important would that be then for that to be scheduled and for that to be calendared and for that to be intentional, not only scheduling our private times, but the semi-private in a small group. Hey, I'm going to intentionally, my family is going to intentionally engage in the next cycle of small groups that our local church body offers, because I'm beginning to understand that's a part of our spiritual maturity. And then in the public space, deciding, hey, by Saturday night, by Friday night, deciding that, hey, Sunday is coming and we're, as a family, we are going to attend the Sunday morning service, not for some kind of recognition, but understanding that the Sunday morning gathering or that public worship gathering offers us a place to gather with the body of Christ in that local body of believers where we attend. And there's just, yeah, I mean, I can stay home and I can watch it online, but there's no connection to the greater corporate body. There's a lack of relational connection there.
Exactly.
Which facilitates growth and spiritual maturity. In the things that I receive and in my personal growth and in my family's growth, but also in what I offer to the fellowship, to the larger body, that can spur someone else in their spiritual maturity and growth. So I'm not trying to be legalistic or dogmatic, but there's a lot of people wrestling with returning back to the public space of worship. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage us to think about that as part of the dynamic of our spiritual maturity and growth, scheduling the private, scheduling the semi-private, but then scheduling the public expression of my family's worship. That Sunday morning worship is the decision that I'll make prior in the week, and that we're, it's on our schedule. And look, this is what holds value to our family. And anyway, so just scheduling those things.
Charles, I believe you're tapping into something that I think has been one of those overarching thoughts, maybe mm-hmm. one of those overarching unspoken thoughts, actually, when yeah. it comes to spiritual disciplines, and that is intent. That mm-hmm. is the posture of life that says, you know, my connection to God is vital, and it's going to be reflected in my values, what I choose mm-hmm. to do. The Old Testament example of that is choose this day who you'll serve. You know, those elements of faith that are personal, they are, no one can decide for me if I'm going to
sure.
serve the Lord. At the same time, God has ordained, you know, in our lives that we have connection with others to receive the life and the activity of his presence. And mm-hmm. So when you talk about, I think most of the time we think about spiritual disciplines, it isn't a private sense. It is my private devotions. No, it's sitting under the preaching and the teaching of the mm-hmm. word with other people. You can listen to a podcast if that's all it was, but the idea was there's that expression with the people of God. That's the early church. They met together in houses. They shared meals together. They even went to the temple together. You know, those early believers, those early Jewish believers. And when they showed up in the temple, there were numbers of people there in the temple that were participants in Christ. And so I think that's really important. And so being intentional is reflective of your value. It's reflective of your decision. I'm serving the Lord, and mm-hmm. I'm going to do that in all of those spaces of life.
Yeah. Well, so that's great. I didn't mean to get on a soapbox and rant there, but it was just a thought that occurred as you were sharing. So we've talked about the nine spiritual disciplines. We've talked about these spaces, private, semi-private, and the public. What about frequency? You know, as if someone's putting together an individual plan, an individual spiritual life plan, what would you recommend, or what would be the options, I guess, in regards to frequency of these spiritual disciplines?
Yeah, so when I think about three spaces, I also think about three sequences, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a timing characteristic to put on that, but I think you start daily. What do I need in my, you know, and because you're always with yourself, you know, there's always that private dimension to your spirituality. So maybe daily you're thinking about disciplines that are more private. And I think that's consistent with what's been most of our experiences over years. Mm-hmm. There's private devotions, those private times of prayer. The act of personal submission, I'm continually submitting myself, you know, to the Lord, personal stewardship of my life, my health, my finances, those all have a private, expression, and usually they have a daily occurrence. Okay. And so, but scheduling those daily, I think, is important. But schedule your disciplines weekly. You know, the pattern in the New Testament was, for example, something like tithing. You know, not only bringing all the tithe into the storehouse, which was a regular participation, but again, like we referred to earlier, Paul speaking of the grace of giving, that's something that we purpose to do privately, but we bring it the first Sunday of the first day of the week, you know, that Sunday day of worship. Small group, that I think that's a really healthy spiritual discipline. If I could, you know, if I could encourage everyone to think of small group as one of those vital weekly elements, where you not only experience things like personal submission and the reflection on the word, but you get to experience that time of prayer and opportunities for service and ministry. Again, other spiritual disciplines, they have a weekly component, participating in Sabbath, sitting under the preaching of the word. That, again, those are things that happen weekly. But then you want to think about in a monthly setting, what are some spiritual disciplines that maybe aren't as frequently as daily or even weekly, but things that I want to include in my spiritual life to maintain vitality. And I can tell you, for me, that's fasting. I try to set aside time monthly for fasting, and it's more of an extended time, but it's become a real important part to, I know what the Lord has been working in my life. And but that would be an example of that monthly frequency of participating in that spiritual discipline. You can think of others: prayer walking, mentoring, maybe meeting with a monthly mentoring group. You know, that activity of participating with other believers, maybe even a semi-private manner, more of a small group, or maybe one-to-one, but that you do that monthly. It may be not something you can do weekly, but it is something you can do monthly. And so I like to think of kind of, I call it my 3-3 plan. What is private, semi-private, and public, but also what's daily, weekly, and monthly.
Okay. Wow. Well, I mean, that's just tremendous. Really adds value to a believer that's trying to construct and put together an individual plan. I think this is just my observation, but I think most believers have a desire to grow spiritually and to mature in their spiritual life. But I think a lot of people just get hung up on, how do I do this? What does that look like? And so what you're giving us is a great system individually to put a plan together of, hey, here's 9 spiritual disciplines, and you can do those privately, semi-privately, and publicly. And then we want to do those daily, weekly, and monthly. And you can use that grid to really form up an extremely effective kind of an individual plan or family plan, even, that can bring a lot of, that can just truly increase our spiritual vitality. And so thank you, Bruce, for that. That is
Charles, you know, there's a reason we're spending time on here, because it doesn't happen spontaneously.
Yeah.
We don't spontaneously schedule. We have to be intentional about that. And so there are some conflicts, I think, and maybe that's some areas you could address for us this morning.
I think the first one would be, there's no accountable plan, like we've talked about, to practice spiritual disciplines. I have great intent, I have great desire, but I've not moved from dreaming and wishing and wanting to actually implementing and executing. And so a plan gives us a track to walk on. It gives us a pathway to walk into spiritual maturity. And so we think about that individually. When we think about in the life of a local church, most likely there's no individual accountable spiritual life plan for the core of the church. And by the core, who's that select group of leaders and leadership within the church that that really moves and directs and guides the life of the church? We need to, you know, when we talked in our Leadership Railroad series, we talked about the new information, new knowledge, reflection with mentors. I think that same approach can be applied here. You know, what's some new information, or what's some new pathways, some new practices, some new disciplines that you can begin to hold leaders accountable for engaging in? And then, so give them the new practices, give them the new disciplines, give them the space to experience and to live out those disciplines, and then take some time to have reflection with you as the pastor or as the leader, to talk about, you know, what did this look like, this new spiritual life plan. So we need to develop spiritual life plans for those core leaders. And then third, a difficulty or a conflict there, not enough passionate prayer with a group of leaders exists to lift the church and receive corporate God-directed marching orders. And so, yeah. So again, pulling leaders in to begin to pray with passionate prayer, and that's the place. If God is truly the head, of Jesus is truly the head of His church, then he surely has something to say about what He wants to go on in the life of His church. And so I'm thankful for curriculums and programs, and I'm thankful for all those things that we can tap in and access, but first and foremost, through passionate prayer with a group of leaders, that's where we discern the vision of Christ for His church and the life of Christ for His church. So,
you know, Charles, going back to when we talk about planning and being intentional, and there, mm-hmm. there are those conflicts. There are the things that we don't do intentionally.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you mentioned about the no accountable plan, the idea that even in the church, the church doesn't have a plan for that. Mm-hmm. And I want to get into that, but I think it's important before we do. Are you saying that that because we're not connecting with God, at least consistently, it's more sporadic, it's more, for lack of a better word, it's accidental? talk to us a little bit about what's the repercussions of that, and maybe what do we end up defaulting to when it's not intentional?
Yeah, well, if there's not an intentional plan for the church, what happens is that kind of, that lack of planning ensures that the spiritual life of the church will remain ineffective. And you know, we've kind of alluded to it, to this dynamic or this reality in previous episodes, but if we were to take a kind of a broad sweeping look at local churches, I think what we would find is that much of God's church suffers from spiritual weakness. The church is weak, and I think part of that is because most church attenders connect with God sporadically. It's not intentional. And so there has to be a mindset change. There has to be a paradigm shift. There has to be something that helps us as believers say that, look, church attendance can't substitute for my engagement in spiritual disciplines. Yes, church attendance is critical and it's important, but just attending church does not substitute for me engaging and my family mm-hmm. engaging, for the church at large engaging in spiritual disciplines. Because I think that has been the case, and we've produced a weak church. as a result. And then what happens when we don't engage in these fresh pathways of the life of Christ through spiritual disciplines? What happens is spirituality will often turn towards human agenda rather than God's agenda. And so that looks like this: humanly devised activities are substituted for the authentic and present activity of God. It leads to a diminishing of the supernatural presence in worship, as decreasing spiritual experiences shift spiritual life to more of a form than a reality. And that can cause great difficulty in a church. And so Bruce, you're a seasoned veteran pastor and minister. What are some examples? What are some things that maybe you've seen where human activity has been substituted for the authentic present activity of God?
Yeah, if I could be super transparent, as a pastor, I think there's a lot of pressure to make sure that that public worship service is good, it's refined, it's hot. And then we think, well, if I can get some kind of small group container system to keep people, to me, what happens is that we put so much emphasis on that corporate experience, and that's the only weekly experience someone has with God. I hate to say that. I know that's being extremely brutally honest, but sometimes that becomes the pattern. Is this that weekly worship service, and that's someone's only connection with God. And then, I mentioned small groups that people, well, let's get them into a small group. At least they can connect and have healthy relationships and learn. Maybe what used to be in a Sunday school has become more in the small group space. And so, those are forms, but they lack. I think bottom line, I think we fail to empower people to have that private time, and everything's done corporately. And so over the years, because that was such an emphasis, Charles, we come from a renewal movement. I mean, spiritual vitality was ignited, in Azusa Street, in the public worship space, in that corporate, and Azusa was basically a corporate prayer meeting, that idea that we're going to experience God with a large group of people, and there may be some dynamic worship and preaching. We're going to get into that experience, and that's fantastic. That's phenomenal. But over the years, if we don't learn to develop spirituality in these other spaces, private, semi-private, then what happens is what was an initial catalyst for the birth of spiritual life and the revitalization, revival, well, that can become an empty form. And so what happens is that instead of being, rather than moving into God's agenda, then we simply settle for a form that is traditional because we've always done it that way. And so, but it loses its spiritual passion over time. And so it's like you said, that diminishing of the supernatural presence of God in worship, because we've settled for the form rather than for, we talk about creating new pathways. Another beautiful word picture is in the Old Testament, the digging of new wells of spiritual vitality. I know that's a long answer to what you asked, but that's
No, that's
certainly
a
a
great answer.
yeah.
It just reminds me of a church I pastored, and great, man, a great group of people, loved our family, treated us extremely well, and holds a dear place in our heart. But we kind of had to work through some of these issues. we had there's a just a group that would just was continuously coming up to me and saying, "Well, Pastor, the gifts of the Spirit aren't in operation in this church." And what they meant were in the Sunday morning service. In our tradition, in our kind of Pentecostal faith, the Sunday morning service is everything. And then even the Sunday night service really held a prominent place in the Pentecostal church. I can't speak about other traditions, but in our area, in our realm of churchdom, if you will, Sunday night was growing up, it was a powerful time. It was a little bit looser, a little bit more free. Powerful things happened, but just over time, that Sunday night service kind of dried up, and people quit coming, people quit attending. And anyway, in this particular church I pastored, what they were saying was, because they would say to me, the gifts of the Spirit aren't active in this church Sunday morning, and they were saying, it always used to happen on Sunday nights. The gifts of the Spirit always were active on Sunday nights in this church, historically. And so they're wanting to resurrect and raise up Sunday night services. And I said, look, we're not bringing Sunday nights back. If we brought Sunday nights back, would you come? Well, no, we've got this. We have to do this. And I was like, well, there you go. So we're not bringing Sunday nights back. And so what we did, we raised up five different prayer groups within our church. We're small groups. But the focus of those small groups was prayer. And so I identified five people that I felt could lead those groups. I took a few weeks with them, and I think it was about five or six weeks. And we met on Sunday mornings before church, and they just come in my office, and I taught them how to lead a small group. I taught them how I wanted them to pray. I taught them, we prayed together, we modeled it. And so they learned it. And I said, now look, you're responsible to feed your group. But so we had five of these small group prayer groups meeting a different night of the week all throughout the county. And man, I'm telling you what, the gifts of the Spirit came alive in these prayer groups. And so part of that leader's responsibility was to report back to me. Hey, how did it go? Tell me what happened. Tell me what went on. And so in these prayer groups, the gifts of the Spirit were being active. People were healed. There were reports of healing. We don't have time to go through all that happened, but to say every Sunday morning, I would stand up before the congregation. I would talk about these prayer groups, and I would say, listen what happened this week in the life of our church. And so, because I was trying to break this traditional stronghold of everything has to have, the life of the church is Sunday morning or is the corporate worship service. And so in that time, I talked about the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural presence of God being active in these prayer groups during the week. And so we talked about that, and reported on it. We celebrated that happening in the Sunday morning service. I'm telling you, not just the traditional gifts of the Spirit that you think about when we talk about Pentecostal churches, but even as we're the Five Gifts podcast, and we're talking about the gifts that Christ gave His church, those apostolic gifts, prophetic gifts, pastoral gifts, teacher gifts, evangelistic gifts, they were all prominent. They all began to surface in these groups. And man, that was an exciting thing to be able to stand on Sunday mornings and say, look, your pastor wasn't there leading these groups. This was happening organically, and this was happening intentionally. in the life of this church, and we get to celebrate that here this morning. So,
Charles, I love hearing that. I mean, you know, I'm relating to so much of that to my own life, to where I've seen the increase of those gifts, you know, those especially the apostolic and prophetic. Yeah. And just but those have been cultivated and drawn out and surfaced more in my life in those times of prayer that are led. They're not put on autopilot and we're told to go pray in a corner, you know, and meet with God. But it's a corporate, there's a corporate dynamic. There's a maybe, and it's probably more of a small group dynamic, honestly, but and you and I have experienced that. You know, we've gone to churches and we've led prayer times, we call it prompting prayer or passionate core prayer. And I can think of one of our most recent examples to where we begin to we set that atmosphere. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray and look for the activity of God. We're going to keep our energy and our focus together. We're going to pray out loud. And then we invited people to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying too. And it was incredible to see that come alive in people just in that yeah. hour time of prayer that we spent, because that's certainly part of what we, you know, what we want to see happen when it comes to leadership. And I think we have to be both biblical and also you know, to remember that so much of this, it's initiated in prayer. You know, our movement was birthed in that spiritual discipline of prayer. Yeah, and I think that's still important to remember that, you know, when we lead, we want to always lead first, maybe in the prayer disciplines.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe a good or next kind of progression in the conversation would be how could we build? We've talked about an individual plan, and we kind of seem to be shifting towards that corporate church-wide environment. So how could we construct a church-wide plan as we think about leading the church or leading a group? Bruce, any thoughts on that?
I got plenty of thoughts, and I'm thinking that might be a great topic for next week's Five Gifts podcast episode.
Okay, yeah, I think that'd be good.
In fact,
what that really means is, Charles, you have talked entirely too much on this episode, and but it's no different than getting a great sermon with you know, 3 points and you never get past the first one, so it turns into a 3-week series. So you know, I get it.
Yeah. No, you know, our podcast is meant to empower leaders as well as individuals. So I think it'd be a great transition next week to move from what we've talked about, more of an individual, but maybe look at how do we set a corporate spiritual life plan, and maybe go further in how we initiate that in prayer. And I think our listeners might be excited to hear about some things that you and I do for churches that they could certainly benefit from. How about that?
I think that sounds great. Sounds great. Well,
we are hitting up on our time for today, but
okay. Well, it's like I had a friend that he went and held a revival, and he got a little long winded, and he said he says if I could just get raise your hand here tonight, if you'll just give me 5 more minutes, and the whole church raised their hand. He said, all right, I'll take 5 there and 5 there and 5 there, and immediately they all put their hands back down. So. So we better land the plane and get out of here before everybody takes their hands down. But I think we've had a great conversation, great episode today. Just want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Hey, look, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and even share the podcast so you're able to stay up to date on new content and help us spread the message. we want to get this out to as many people as possible. So help us out. If there's any way that I can serve you personally, reach out to me. You can go to charlesrussellministries.com if you're looking for solutions or for help in the church environment. There's a website there. If you're tuning in and listening and you're leading an organization outside of a church, we offer some solutions and some help there. You can go to charlesrusselltraining.com, and there's ways that you can get in touch. A simple set assessments on each of those websites, and then some email. You can reach me by email through those, and we can schedule something we can schedule a conversation. Bruce Ritter, you can check him out. He could be a great help and service to you personally, to your church. Go to coachingcardia.com, and all of Bruce's information is there. And so hit him up, and he can be a great asset and benefit to what you're doing. Thanks again for joining us today, for listening in, tuning in here on the Five Gifts podcast. We'll see you next week. God bless.
God bless.